Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture reading for today is from John 18, 33, 37 in the New Revised Standard Version. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today is sometimes called Christ the King Sunday. If you didn't know this about him, it's Bob Wirtz's favorite Sunday of the year. In more recent times, and I mean recent times in the last few years, not very long, it's been called Reign of Christ Sunday. I don't know if you've noticed that there's been a bit of a transition. I happen to walk in clergy circles, so maybe that's why I'm aware of a transition of that. And it seems to me as I talk with folks, and even as I do some reading, including some of my prep for this Sunday, it seems as though the reason for that transition is wrestling with the idea of kings and kingdom, in part because it seems somewhat patriarchal, right, masculine in nature, and maybe we might imagine a God that's beyond gender, but also in the way it has a tendency to rely on earthly powers, particularly earthly powers that are fear-based. I just don't believe in a God that's fear-based. That's not the God I understand and experience. You may have heard Pastor Derek talk about the kingdom of God, right? Basically take out the G, right? The kingdom of God, which I really sort of like. I haven't been quite as bold as Pastor Derek about naming that quite so succinctly, but it really has to do with the idea of kin or family. And I have been really bold over the course of the last year and a half about talking about this as a faith community, as our church family. Whether we are here in the sanctuary or online, this is our church family and we are connected. I do feel more comfortable talking about that. And yet, our sacred text does talk about kings. But as we heard a moment ago, even Jesus seems to reject the title of king. Now, the Gospel of Mark is a bit more abrupt than the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John offers a bit more conversation about it. In the Gospel of Mark, Pilate asks, "Are you a king?" Jesus just says, "You say so." But in the Gospel we just heard, in the Gospel of John, it's a little bit more. Now, as we're celebrating Christ the King Sunday or Reign of Christ Sunday, of course, in a moment, if you're missing Crown Him with Many Crowns, don't worry, that's coming. But also, the applause from Bob, good. But also, you know, we changed, Alita came in and changed the pyramids. Of course, we have, not quite for Christ the King Sunday, Reign of Christ Sunday, but we have the cornucopia up here in celebration of Thanksgiving. By the way, my thanks to Gail, not only for putting this up here and making this look beautiful, but also for teaching me. I've used the word cornucopia before, but not to describe this thing, so thank you for teaching me something, because I like big words. And so with some of these changes, what I had to think about, well, I can't wear my green stole in worship. That's the season after Pentecost. The color is white today. I had to wear my white stole. There's not a lot of like Christ the King Sunday stoles. So this is actually my Easter stole. And it was given to me, hallelujah, it's a good time to celebrate Christ the King, it's okay. It was given to me by a pastor and mentor. I consider her a friend now, but also a maternal figure. She was with me along my journey of losing my mom. She is someone, I don't know if you've known people like this, who are just born to be a pastor. Like, they just exude that. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I exude that. As I was thinking about, you know, what to wear and which cross to wear, it keeps flipping around, which cross to wear on Christ the King Sunday, which stole to wear, I realized that I'm not wearing tennis shoes today. I just want to address the elephant in the room, because many of you ask me after church, why aren't you wearing tennis shoes today? Don't worry, I'm wearing surfboard socks, so it's all right. Because we're family. And I want to be here in front of you as who I am. Even when I think about wearing the fancier cross on Christ the King Sunday, even when I think about wearing the stole of someone who continues to inspire and challenge me, I want to be real, and I want to be authentic, and I want to live like Jesus matters to me. Not because I feel like I need to prove that to you. Believe me, I don't want to be the one who stands up in the long robe with the long prayers. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. I want to be real with you. I want this to be a space of authenticity and vulnerability, because we are family. Because we're connected. Because we're kin. And because that matters. The ways that we interact with each other, whether we're in the room or online, we're family, and we care about each other, and it matters. And we can think about that as we approach this Thanksgiving holiday, can't we? Right? For those of us who have the ability to gather together with people, who remember previous Thanksgiving gatherings, right? There's always that person who shows up who we just don't agree with, and we're afraid that they're going to bring up whatever topic that is over the dinner table. But aren't we so glad that they're there, because we love them even in spite of our disagreements? It's a family, and we're connected, and it matters. Because in our connection, we're stronger, we're more able to face the world, we're more able to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven when we do it together, collectively. So how does our text help us to understand these things? Help us to understand our connection of family? How does it understand that we're profoundly changed by Jesus the Christ? You know, over the course of the last several weeks, we've really been hammering home the same point. I don't know if you've picked up on that. But ultimately, over the last several weeks, what we've been talking about is, listen, if we're going to be people of faith, let's actually be people of faith. Let's live like our spirituality, our faith matters to us. Let's live like this person who we talk about, this Jesus, divine and human, all wrapped up into one in a mysterious way. Let's act like Jesus matters. A quick aside, you know, as I talk about preferring the word kingdom to kingdom, you know, wrestling with that whole idea of kingship, I'm afraid that sometimes folks who choose that language sometimes get painted like theologically left-leaning, theologically liberal, theologically progressive. Let's be clear, I don't think I would deny that title, but I would also say those who affirm a similar theology to mine, like, I have a really high Christology. Do you understand what that means? Jesus matters to me, but not only does Jesus matter to me, I have a high Christology in that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who is God's perfect presence and love on earth, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, taught profoundly, was betrayed and crucified on a cross, died and raised, and ascended to heaven. all of those traditional things. And sometimes when we who have somewhat academic or left-leaning theology, sometimes we get painted in a way that says maybe we don't believe in some of that stuff. And I want to be clear that I do. That was a little aside. I hope that doesn't distract from what we're talking about today. Because we're talking about the reign of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the family of Christ, the connection of Christ. As I said, really, we've been hammering this point home over the course of the last several weeks. And you may remember, as we concluded the last sermon series on the parables, we talked about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we concluded that, and I was nervous about it. You remember I've talked about this. I was nervous about it because we concluded that with a sort of a bold question. Do we live in this life like Jesus matters? And then we followed the following week with the story of the woman in the women's court at the temple with those 13 trumpets along the wall in the women's court, and she put in just a couple of pennies. When people were putting in large sums of money, it was all noisy and all of those things. And we asked the question, do we follow the example of the widow, giving all that we are and all that we can? Which is connected to that question, do we live in this life like Jesus matters? And then last week, as the disciples and Jesus were leaving the area, and the disciples were like, oh my gosh, this temple is amazing. Look at these wonderful buildings all around. Jesus said, not one stone will be on top of the other. But let's not worry about destruction of earthly things. And we ask the question, do we live our lives as Christians today, now, imminently? Do we live in this life like Jesus matters? And so as we approach this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, Reign of Christ Sunday, really the question is the same. Do we live our lives like Jesus matters? Do we live our lives as though Jesus reigns in our hearts and in our souls? Do we? Because it's really easy to come on Sunday morning, to connect to a website on Sunday morning, and then move about our lives the way we'd rather do it. It's harder to live our lives like Jesus reigns in our hearts. Do we do it? And what does that look like? In the context of today's scripture, it may seem a little odd to be talking about Jesus' trial when next week we're talking about Advent and preparation for Christmas. But this is the end of the Christian liturgical calendar. This is the end of the Christian year. Christ the King, Reign of Christ Sunday, is the last Sunday in the Christian year. Next Sunday is a whole new year. And it's good and right next Sunday that we talk about preparation for Christ in our lives as we talk about whether or not Christ has dominion and reigns in our hearts. So in our text, Jesus has been arrested. And a little bit before the text that Anne read, Jesus goes before the high priest. He goes to Annas, who's the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest that year. All of this, we have a slide that's a model of the temple. If we can bring that up, I want to show this to you. I think I've shown you this slide before. This is the temple. This is a model of the temple and really all of old Jerusalem that is still in Jerusalem. There's a museum where you could find this in Jerusalem today. So this is that model, and this is, if you were looking from east to west, this is what the temple would have looked like. And you see the larger courtyard all around on the outside. That would have been the courtyard of the Gentiles. And then sort of the one closest to the camera perspective, that's the women's court, right, where those trumpets were, where offerings would go in. And then further, the courtyard that's around that taller building, that's where the men's courtyard was. And then, of course, that taller building is the Holy of Holies. That's where only the high priest could go. Now, if you look at the far right, so if we're looking west, I'm talking about the north side. So as you look at it, it's on that side. You see where those four towers, right? Okay, that's what is called the Praetorium or the Fortress Antony. That's where Pilate has his conversation with Jesus that we just heard about, and we'll get to that. But if you look on the opposite side, also on the north, and you see a couple of smaller towers and a little place that has a bit of a courtyard in it, it's thought, and this is what I'm understanding from some reading of some archaeological articles, it looks as though that's the high priest's house. So I want you to have that visual that this is where Jesus goes. Before he talks to Pilate, this is where Jesus goes to talk to Annas, right, who's the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And then you see that little courtyard around that place. What I'm guessing is that's maybe the courtyard where Peter was warming his hands on a fire when he denied Jesus. So this is the visual. This is how I imagine it. Now, I'm not an archaeologist. I could be wrong about parts of this, but based on my reading, this is accurate. So Annas questions Jesus, really asking about his teaching, and Jesus says, listen, see that temple right over there? That's where I've been. I've been out in the open. I've not been saying things in secret. Everything I've been doing has been out in the open, right in that courtyard around the temple right there. Everything I've said has been heard by a ton of people. You want to know what I've been saying? That's where I've said it. Ask anybody. Of course, there's a nearby guard who gets upset and punches Jesus in the face. So then Jesus is taken to see Pilate. And he's taken over to the praetorium, but he's not taken inside yet because the high priests aren't willing to go into the praetorium. That's a Gentile place. And if they go in, then they're ritually unclean and they won't be able to eat the Passover because remember, it's also the Passover season. So Pilate talks to him outside the praetorium. And I imagine, I don't know, somewhere in that colonnade or you know, in a hallway, like, I don't know. It doesn't tell us. We just know that they're not in the praetorium. So, I'm looking forward to my text. This is chapter 18. I'm at verse 28. They took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. So this is early Good Friday morning. They themselves didn't enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, what accusations do you bring against this man? They answered, if this man were not a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. Pilate said to him, take him yourselves, judge him according to your law. The Jews replied, we are not permitted to put anyone to death. Then Pilate enters the praetorium, the headquarters again, and he calls Jesus to come with him. And this is the conversation that we just heard Anne read. The high priest and the Jews aren't around. I don't know if there's Roman soldiers around. It doesn't tell us. But you know what I imagine? I imagine Pilate and Jesus close enough that they can look each other in the eye. I imagine them having a conversation, maybe even like we're having now. Maybe a little different. I imagine Pilate sort of having this sense of power over Jesus. And we might imagine how wrong Pilate is. Are you king of the Jews? Jesus answers by not answering. Do you ask this on your own or did others tell you about me? Pilate said, I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answers, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Ah, so you are a king? And again, Jesus answers the question by not answering the question. Maybe he even answers the question that Pilate should have asked. You say I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Then, of course, immediately I hear the lyrics by Tim Rice. What are truths? We all have truths. Are mine the same as yours? From Jesus Christ Superstar. What is truth? Is truth family? Is truth connection? Is truth the kingdom of God? Did you know that we haven't always called this Christ the King Sunday? Did you know that? Does anybody know when? Bonus points if you know the answer to this question. Does anyone know when Christ the King Sunday was initiated? It came out of the Catholic Church. Do you know? Go ahead. 1925 is exactly right. You looked it up online. 1925 is exactly right. It was instituted by Pope Pius XI, who had an entire year talking about Christ the King. He wrote this in his encyclical, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Quas Primus number 24. And we have this, we have these words that I'd like to have added to the screen. The rebellion of individuals and states against the authority of Christ has produced deplorable consequences. The seeds of discord sown far and wide. Those bitter enmities and rivalries between nations which still hinder much the cause of peace. That insatiable greed which is so often hidden under a pretense of public spirit and patriotism and gives rise to so many public private quarrels. A blind and immoderate selfishness making men seek nothing but their own comfort and advantage and measuring everything by these. Boy, that hits home today. No peace in the home because men have forgotten or neglected their duty. The unity and stability of the family undermined. Society, in a word, shaken to its foundation and on the way to ruin. We firmly hope, however, that the feast of the kingship of Christ, which in the future will be yearly observed, may hasten the return of society to our loving Savior. By what power? By what power do we experience the kingdom of Christ, the reign of Christ in our hearts? I would echo that great prophet, Huey Lewis, who says the power of love. And echoed by Pope Benedict, I have another quote for you. But in what does this power of Jesus Christ consist? It is not the power of kings or the great people of this world. It is the divine power to give eternal life, to liberate from evil, to defeat the dominion of death. It is the power of love that can draw good from evil, that can melt the hardened heart, bring peace amidst the harshest conflict, and kindle hope in the thickest darkness. The kingdom of grace is never opposed and always respects our freedom. Christ came to bear witness to the truth as he declared to Pilate. Whoever accepts his witness serves beneath his banner. Every conscience, therefore, must make a choice. Who do I want to follow? God or the evil one? The truth or falsehood? Choosing Christ does not guarantee success according to the world's criteria, but assures the peace and joy that he alone can give us. Today is Reign of Christ Sunday. It's Christ the King Sunday. A Sunday where we might culminate in the profound question for me as an individual, and I invite you all to ask yourselves this question, for me as an individual, does Jesus matter? Does he have dominion? Does he reign in my heart? Is he present in every decision that I make when I choose between right and wrong, good and evil, heavenly things and earthly things? And as a result, do I live my life differently and build the kingdom of God? We work each Sunday to give you a tangible thing to do. Something to do over the course of the coming week. A way that you might respond to this time of worship. I feel a little self-conscious because we have this place directly after the sermon, and I don't want it to be whatever words I say unless you understand that it's not my words but the Spirit that moves. But here's what I would invite you to do over the course of this week. Some of us may be traveling this week. Many of us may be gathering. Hopefully, whether we gather in person or in some other method, we will be connecting with family and folks who are important to us. I would invite you to pay attention to those interactions, particularly those interactions that are the ones that we find the most challenging. And look at how we respond to those reactions. Ah, boy, that's just crazy, Uncle Bob. And I hope one of my nieces and nephews says that about me. Boy, that's just my crazy Uncle Bob. But gosh, I love him anyway. And then take that understanding into a disagreement outside of your family. Maybe it's somebody who thinks politically different from you. Maybe it's somebody who thinks theologically different from you. Maybe it's someone who thinks vocationally different from you. Take that interaction with that family member or close friend that you celebrate this season of Thanksgiving with in whatever way that you do, where you say, well, that's just that crazy person, but I love him anyway, and apply it. Apply it to everybody.